Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Curious as we roll into Valentine's Day, we have to wait a month evidently for this trade to come down, get Flacco sent to Denver, and theoretically officially pass the reins to Lamar Jackson. Who would you rather have for the next 3 years? The next 3 years in the NFL, if you could have either Lamar Jackson or Joe Flacco? I think you have to factor in age a little bit. Flacco right now, I'm going to check and see exactly how old he is. I'm guessing like 33 or 34, but I'll pull up the official age here for Joe Flacco and give you guys an idea. Flacco's 34, so playing until he's 37 is very doable. And by the way, he just turned 34 in January, so last month. So he literally just turned 34. So I don't think playing to 37 is outlandish at all for Joe Flacco. So for the next 3 years, who would you rather have, Joe Flacco, or would you rather have Lamar Jackson? Because that's effectively the decision that the Baltimore Ravens had to make. And in theory, at least in theory, the Broncos have made a choice there as well. Now, it's also possible both the Broncos and the Ravens could draft quarterbacks this year, so it's not like they're going all in with either guy, although it would be relatively strange. It's a good question. One of you guys can tweet me, or maybe one of the guys on the show can think of it. Can you think of a team that has drafted first-round quarterbacks in back-to-back years? Like, in theory, the Ravens would do if they went and got another guy to be Joe Flacco's backup going forward. I can't think of a team. I know we've had a couple of years where you got, you know, for instance, we had the Kirk Cousins RG3 drama where you had two guys drafted both in the first round. I mean, the same draft, first round and a fourth rounder, if I remember correctly. But I can't ever remember a team going first-round quarterbacks in back-to-back years, because it would basically be an acknowledgement, I think, that you drafted the wrong guy. So I'd be very surprised if the Ravens did that. That's what I would think was necessary. I personally would rather have Flacco. Who would you rather have for the next 3 years? People say, why you go 3 years? Well, 3 years is a long time in the NFL. And also, 3 years would take Joe Flacco into 37, year 37. I know you don't want to say 5 years because he's 40. I think it gets more difficult the longer you go. And 3 years would take Lamar Jackson to the end of his guaranteed rookie contract. And that would be around the time that the team would have to make a decision. Okay, are we going to pick up the option on his fifth year? So I think 3 years is a good number. Also, again, 3 years is a long time in the NFL. A lot changes very often at the quarterback position in 3 years. I'd rather have Flacco. Flacco has proven he can win a Super Bowl. Flacco in the postseason has been phenomenal. And I just don't believe in Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is a flash in the pan. I don't believe that he's a long-range answer at quarterback because he can't throw the ball, at least not consistently. He's a one-read-and-then-run guy. Now, the Ravens have a good defense. They may well decide, you know what, we just want to run the ball consistently. I don't think that there's any way Lamar Jackson will be able to run the ball next year. I think you've followed the NFL at all. What you have seen is defenses catch up, whether it's Tim Tebow, RG3, or Vince Young. All three of those guys came in, set the league on fire, and then couldn't be pocket passing quarterbacks on third and eight to consistently continue drives. And as a result, they all got replaced. And I think the same thing is going to happen with Lamar Jackson, notwithstanding the early success he had. Lamar Jackson is eerily similar to Vince Young. I mean, it is crazy how similar those guys are. Vince Young came in, if you remember, like six games into his rookie year with the Titans, was unstoppable down the stretch. Took the Titans to the postseason. He went like 8-1 or 8-2 or whatever the heck it was down the stretch once he came in and started starting games. Won, I think it was eight games in a row, before. I think he lost his first game, won 8 in a row, and then lost his last game. Titans barely missed the postseason. I was in love with Vince Young's performance in the NFL his rookie year. Vince Young's career probably peaked when he ran 40 yards for the touchdown. If you remember in that game against the Houston Texans in overtime, he went back home, and in overtime, he just, like, I mean, it was an incredible run in overtime, a walk-off 40-yard scramble for a touchdown. And I couldn't wait to see what he was going to be capable of going forward. You know what happened? He couldn't make it consistently as a passing quarterback. Never was able to actually make that take that next step and win as a passing quarterback. And as a result, NFL defenses caught up with him, and he was out of the league a few years later as a starter. He got replaced, if you remember, by Kerry Collins, who was kind of like the Joe Flacco of his era, really. I mean, big, strong-armed guy that was good enough to win 12 games, but you never really felt like when it got to the postseason he was going to be able to win you a championship. Flacco's better than Kerry Collins. But that's what happened in that situation. Tebow gets replaced by Peyton Manning. RG3 gets replaced by Kirk Cousins. What all those guys have in common? They're all passing prototypical quarterbacks in the pocket. Would you rather have Flacco or would you rather have Lamar Jackson, Danny G?
I would rather have Lamar Jackson right now. Now, maybe Flacco for one season because, as we see, Jackson is still developing. But he's got a upside for sure.
I don't think so.
You don't think so, no. But I do. I mean, I saw him improving as the season went. Now, that didn't play out in the playoff game. But Lamar Jackson is an exciting young player.
The performance he put forward in the first three quarters of the playoff game is as bad of a performance as has ever existed in the history of the NFL postseason.
But it still was his very first playoff game of his career.
Doesn't matter. You can't be that bad.
I think it does matter.
Can't be that bad.
Now, I do like how Flacco handled the whole thing. Very classy, even on his way out of Baltimore. I give him a lot of props for that.
Joe Flacco in the postseason. Somebody pull up Joe Flacco in the postseason's record. I mean, it's unbelievable, particularly when you consider how he did on the road in playoff games. He's one of the best in the postseason in the history of the NFL. Who would you rather have Eddie Garcia for the next 3 years, Flacco or Lamar Jackson?
I'd rather have Lamar Jackson. I've seen Joe Flacco, and he's done. I would take him. I would take Joe Flacco as a backup quarterback in case of an emergency. He comes in and fills in for a game or two, maybe. But as a starting quarterback, I have no confidence in Joe Flacco anymore. I know he's won a Super Bowl, but he's not that quarterback. And frankly, he's never been that quarterback other than that 1 year that he won the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, look, I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback either. But there is the unknown. Maybe he can develop as a passer. I'll take the what if rather than the what I think I know, and that's that Joe Flacco can't.
Joe Flacco in the postseason, when you get him to the postseason, has been pretty phenomenal. I mean, historically, one of the best quarterbacks, especially if you consider on the road, in the history of the NFL. So his ceiling, and look, I understand people are like, oh, he's 35 years old, he doesn't have anything left. I disagree with that because I don't think 35 is that old right now for a quarterback in the NFL when you consider Drew Brees is 40 and Tom Brady is 41.
He's not one of those guys.
I disagree that he doesn't have potentially something left. Now, I'm not excited about how John Elway has done and performed as a quarterback evaluator, but I would much rather have him than Lamar Jackson. I think you guys are buying into fool's gold.
Really quick on that, I wanted to ask you, because in the open of the show, you were talking about Tim Tebow. Are you putting that on Elway? Because he didn't draft Tebow.
No, but he had to make a decision about what to do with Tim Tebow, right?
And he gave him the boot.
He gave him the boot because he got Peyton Manning, but otherwise that would have been a disaster. He wouldn't have been able to get rid of Tim Tebow if he hadn't been able to bring in somebody like Peyton Manning. Right? Was he not the executive in charge when Josh McDaniels made Tim Tebow a first-round pick?
No, I believe he came in right after the loss to the Patriots.
So, regardless, Elway's management of the quarterback position, when you consider Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch, has been a disaster. I know that McDaniels was the guy who went and drafted Tebow.
Yeah,
and
Josh said, McDaniels took the brunt of all of that criticism.
This is going to be my guy.
Yep.
But it still was a incredibly ugly situation. Then you go give Case Keenum $18 million. Now, he's not the answer either. I imagine that the Broncos are going to go back into the draft and draft another young guy, which means Flacco might find himself in the same position he found himself in Baltimore, which is you get a little bit dinged up or you get a little bit injured. There's another younger guy out there who potentially comes in and starts to conflict with you. I think that the Ravens have made a really bad decision in going all in on Lamar Jackson here. I think it's bad because I think the reason they traded Flacco and are getting rid of him is because Harbaugh doesn't want to be criticized like he was in the playoff game for not giving the ball back to Joe Flacco and giving the Ravens a chance to win. It's not like the Chargers were on fire offensively in that game. If they had just had a mediocre quarterback performance, that's a game they could have won. Flacco wouldn't have been great necessarily, but Lamar Jackson was a disaster until the Chargers started to play prevent defense, and then they almost allowed the Ravens to make a couple of plays to come back in that game. But through the first three quarters, we're talking about a historically and epically bad performance. Dub, who would you take?
I definitely would like Lamar Jackson's contract. So because of that, I think I'd go with the rookie deal with Jackson just because we don't know exactly how good he's going to be. So I'll roll with Jackson here.
The rookie deal contract is not a bad argument, at least, because he's not going to cost that much money over the next several years as the last pick in the first round. And you've got him under that contract for 3 years before the dollar figure cycles up in a way. So dollars for dollar, that's the best argument I think you can make for Lamar Jackson, is his low-cost contract allows you to make moves surrounding him and theoretically bring in a lot more talent than you would, a couple of more extra guys than you would with what you have to play Flacco. What about you, Sam? Who's your call here?
I would also take Lamar Jackson. I'm looking at it like this. Joe Flacco needs a little bit of a revitalization in Denver. His head coach is Vic Fangio. I don't even know who his quarterback's coach is going to be. Remember the Gary Kubiak fallout? That would have really helped Joe Flacco, probably. But Vic Fangio being in Denver, I think that Lamar Jackson can be coached up a little bit better in Baltimore. You saw him go on that run. He's young. He's still moldable. So I think that I would take Lamar Jackson, though I think Joe Flacco in Denver is an upgrade at quarterback.
All right, so here for the, you guys are all going Lamar Jackson. I think you're buying into fool's gold. Who is Lamar Jackson right now that you can point to and say he can be this guy? Who is everything is about, I think, and when you look at sports, it's almost never the case that a guy comes in and he's like no one else before, and he breaks the mold, and you say, oh my God, we've never seen anything like this. Now, maybe LeBron James, although my argument would be LeBron James just happens to combine Karl Malone's size with Magic Johnson's ball handling ability, and basically, you know, like, I mean, he is a, you know, sort of a breaker of typical boundaries because there's never been anybody as big and as good as what LeBron James can do. Maybe Zion Williamson can be a rule breaker in terms of their just raw physical ability. We haven't seen anybody like them before. They are one in a billion in terms of their overall natural athleticism. But who is Lamar Jackson in the NFL right now that you can point to and say, this guy reminds me of this other guy who was wildly successful that is similar to what he does?
That's a good question.
All right, so that is that. The long silence there. We do have to think, you know. But you should, if you believe in a quarterback, you should immediately think, okay, this guy reminds me of
Michael Vick.
Okay, Vick is more athletic, I think, than Lamar Jackson. And also, he's got a better arm, in my opinion, based on having watched both. But what did Michael Vick actually win?
Some games.
Some games, yeah. Right? I mean, and you can say, well, he went to prison for dogfighting. Who knows what he would have been capable of.
So you're going to base this solely on Michael Joe Flacco's Vick, resume, what he's done in the past. We're talking about
I would rather rely on somebody who I know has been capable of playing at a really high level than I would rely.
That's been years ago.
Joe Flacco, look, somebody needs to pull up Joe Flacco's numbers. 10 years ago? No, Joe Flacco.
It's been years ago.
I mean, Joe Flacco has been decent. I mean, I think he's an average NFL quarterback. But when he gets to the postseason, Joe Flacco has performed at an incredibly elite level, which is why the question of where is Joe Flacco, you know, is Joe Flacco elite, has become a cliche because it's such a difficult question to answer. But I'm not even focused on Flacco right now. I'm saying, okay, if you are a Lamar, if you want to buy stock in Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick might be the answer. And if you talk to Michael Vick would say, you know what, I should have spent more time studying at the quarterback position. I should have put more effort into running, you know, the offense and not relying on my natural athletic ability as much as I did. So Michael Vick might be the answer. My response to that would be Michael Vick really wasn't that successful in the NFL in the long range. So you're pointing to somebody who was erratic, unsuccessful. What did Vick win? One playoff game in his career? I think he beat the Green Bay Packers on the road with the Falcons. Am I correct in that? That he only won one playoff game in his career? So that's not exactly... But
wouldn't you admit that the way that new NFL offenses are starting to lean, that helps a young quarterback like Lamar Jackson?
No, I still... As much as everything evolves... You still have to be able to be a quarterback on 3rd and 8 who can drop back and move the chains. That's the single most important thing that you have to do in the NFL. When everybody knows that you are passing, you have to be able to pass. You have to be able to complete, get it first downs, and extend drives. Doesn't matter what happens in the NFL, what offenses evolve, and everything else. Ultimately, the NFL is a 3rd down passing league. That's it. The NFL is a 3rd down passing league. That is the contest that is out there. As much as you can say, oh, the NFL offenses have opened up and everything else, I'll open up the phone lines. Best case scenario for Lamar Jackson is X. And the best answer so far you guys have given me is Michael Vick.
Well, best case scenario, I mean, best case scenario would be Russell Wilson, but he doesn't have his arm.
He's not remotely as similar to Russell Wilson.
Well, in athleticism, he is.
The arm is not, Russell Wilson is not as good, quote unquote, of an athlete.
But he wills his team down the field.
He doesn't will his team down the field. Yes, he drops back on 3rd down and completes passes consistently. Russell Wilson is one of the best pocket passers in the NFL.
Go
he's one
back
of the best
to the beginning,
passers.
But go back
and
to the beginning
been,
of his career.
No, he's been able to do that since early in his career. They're not remotely similar.
I think there is some similarities.
There's zero
there.
Similarity. The only reason you're saying that is because Russell Wilson is black.
That's not why I'm
yes.
saying that.
And otherwise, they have Russell absolutely Wilson nothing is, in common.
You pretty much can make an argument that Russell Wilson is white, too. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not thinking of it
they
like
are,
that at all.
They have nothing in common.
The fact that they're both very athletic quarterbacks who lead their teams on runs, I think... Now, I just
Russell
said
Wilson
Lamar Jackson
runs the ball.
Nowhere near has... Wilson's arm.
Nowhere near his
arm. But he has his
and
leadership. Though.
Russell, that is such an ephemeral.
No,
that's
it's
a
not.
Bad argument.
Why?
That's a really bad
Why?
Argument. Russell
How many
Wilson
wins in
nothing.
A row did he lead
Anybody
the Ravens
who has
to?
Watched the NFL and says Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson are similar is insane. Those guys are nothing
no,
alike.
No, you said who would you like him to turn into? Who would you like him
yeah,
to be
you're,
to shoot
you're,
for the
yeah,
stars
well, okay,
to be?
Okay, so I would like Lamar Jackson to also turn into Tom Brady. They're nothing at all similar. I'm saying based on what you have seen of Lamar Jackson so far, who does he remind you of? Not who would you like him to turn into. Every young quarterback, you'd be like, okay, I'd like him to turn into Drew Brees. I'd like him to turn into Tom Brady. I'd like him to turn into a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Okay, yeah, everybody gets that. But Lamar Jackson, based on what you have seen so far, give me a guy that he reminds you of that could be his ceiling. Michael Vick, I can see a little bit. A little bit, but I don't even see very similar there because Vic had a better arm, I believe, and was, I think, a better athlete even. And even if you're saying Michael Vick, okay, the dude won one playoff game, I believe I'm correct in that, in his career. So you say, oh, I like the future for Lamar Jackson. The NFL is a copycat league. Everybody out there you can look at and say, okay, you know what? This guy kind of reminds me of somebody else who's been successful. I'll give you an example. Sam Darnold. Who does Sam Darnold remind you of? I think Sam Darnold, and I've said this ever since I watched him at SC, he reminds me of potentially of what Andrew Luck is able to do in the NFL. I think that's an easy comparison that makes a lot of sense. Baker Mayfield. Who does Baker Mayfield remind you of? Baker Mayfield, he kind of reminds me of Favre, honestly, in the way that he plays, the way he flings the ball around the field. Who does Lamar Jackson remind you of that has been successful at a high level in the NFL? I don't think there's a template. Now, you can say, okay, he's going to break the mold. He's going to be someone we've never seen before. I'm just skeptical of that because I think the NFL ultimately comes back to, can he make a pass on 3rd and 8?
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The question of the day, as news has come down yesterday that Joe Flacco is being traded to the Denver Broncos in exchange reportedly for a 4th-round draft pick. Lamar Jackson theoretically being given the reins of the Ravens, theoretically Joe Flacco being given the reins of the Denver Broncos. Who would you rather have as your quarterback for the next 3 years is our poll question, Flacco or Lamar Jackson? And I say in parenthetical, neither is not an option here. Right now with 2,000 votes in, 54% of you saying Lamar Jackson, 46% of you saying Joe Flacco. My big question, and I want to hear from you guys. We got loaded lines. I'm going to go to your calls. Who does Lamar Jackson remind you of that you feel like was a really good quarterback in the NFL? Because, again, it's rare that you have guys who completely break the mold. I don't believe Lamar Jackson is a mold breaker. Most guys are resemble in some way, even though the eras may change, other guys before them, right? And so as you break this down, I don't see a resemblance between Lamar Jackson and anybody at a high level who has had consistent and sustained success in the NFL. Now, you could also argue, hey, Lamar Jackson breaks the mold. There are mold breakers. They are rare, but I would say, for instance, LeBron James is a mold breaker. For a comparison, Karl Malone, except he's a point guard. Right. If I asked you to describe LeBron James's basketball game based on the previous 20 years of basketball, there really isn't an easy comparison. He's Magic Johnson, but he's insanely athletic. He is Karl Malone, except a point guard version. Right. If you had to look back over the last 20 years, not really somebody that you could point to and say, oh, he's like this other guy. He's a mold breaker. That's what truly great guys are. They change our perceptions of what is possible in the world of sports. Zion Williamson right now in college basketball could be a mold breaker. It's hard to think of Zion and come up with a guy that he reminds you of in the NBA right now. I don't think Lamar Jackson is that in the NFL, and I think in order to truly believe in Lamar Jackson, you have to believe he's a mold breaker because I don't see anybody at the quarterback position that he directly resembles. Could I be wrong? Certainly. Quarterback position is hard to project. But if I had to choose right now who do I want for the next 3 years, I'm taking Joe Flacco because there are a lot of big pocket passing quarterbacks that are 35 or older that I can point to and say, hey, that guy's been somewhat successful. There are not a lot of young running quarterbacks I can point to and say, hey, that guy has been somewhat successful. Right now, I see Lamar Jackson as a smaller Vince Young. I think that Ravens are going to go through the Vince Young era 2.0. I think there's a lot of Tebow in him. I think there is a lot of RG3, except he's not as good of a passer as RG3 was, not even close to as good of a passer as RG3 was in his rookie year. What about you guys? We're taking your calls. JJ in Indiana, who you got?
Hey, Clay, appreciate it, man. Always appreciate your show. Just real quick, condition 3 points on here. Gone are the days when you have your 3-year contracts and you have your Steve Young. Let me say your Joe Montana leaving it to Steve Young. You have your Aaron Rodgers coming in after Brett Favre. I would say that Lamar is more of a Randall Cunningham type of quarterback form right now. He doesn't have the tools that Cunningham had, but he's more that style of player. If you would have said 2 years, I would have said keep Flacco. That would have brought him into the contract expiration, and then Lamar Jackson would have been able to learn from Flacco in those 2 years, and then the contract would expire. Yeah. Flacco would have been gone. You know, I mean, right there.
All right, thanks for the call. Randall Cunningham was bigger. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I feel like Cunningham was like a solid 6'4", 6'5". One of you guys can look up Randall Cunningham's height to confirm that for me. And I think Randall Cunningham was a better passer. Now, the eras are different, but I don't really see Lamar Jackson as very similar to Randall Cunningham other than the fact they're both the same race, right? I know it's crazy Cunningham was 6'4". I know it's great. I think Lamar Jackson is 6'2", if I'm not mistaken. You guys can confirm that, too. I know it's crazy. And also, Cunningham was just bigger. I feel like physically bigger. You know, if somebody said Michael Vick, I feel like Michael Vick was built thicker than Lamar Jackson. Like, he could withstand hits more. Not that Michael Vick was ever, like, a big, like, he's not, you know, Cam Newton, right? Yeah, Jackson's nowhere near, I don't think, a Cam Newton type. And by the way, cross-racial comparisons are allowed. I know people out there are like, well, he's got to be another black quarterback. Maybe, but does he really fit in? Again, he's not similar at all to Cam Newton. Cam Newton is really Ben Roethlisberger with legs, right? Huge physical guy. When you hit Cam Newton in the pocket, it's like he's jello, right? Like, when you hit Ben Roethlisberger, watch how often Roethlisberger gets hit and he just, like, absorbs the hit. He's like jello. He just gets hit and he never really seems to ever get totally obliterated, right? Like, his body just, for whatever reason, just kind of envelops the hit and then he may go down, but you feel like the defender took as much of a punishment trying to hit him even in the pocket as the quarterback did. So, I mean, look, again, finding molds and putting them in, they don't have to be perfect fits. Cam Newton is Ben Roethlisberger, except more mobile. That's the way that I would describe him. Big, physical guy, drop back to pass. Now, Roethlisberger is a better thrower, but those are the kind of guys that I would put in the mold just because their physicality is similar. Lamar Jackson is who that has been successful in the NFL? Make me a case. Ross in Louisville, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a Lamar fan. I'm a Louisville Cardinal fan. Lamar did not have a lot of QB teaching going on here at Louisville, and thus is why Bobby is out now.
Yeah, hold on a sec. I disagree with that. I think much of Lamar Jackson's success was because Bobby Petrino is a phenomenal play caller. If you watch, and I watched all those Louisville games because I bet on a lot of them. If you watched Louisville, Lamar Jackson was a one-read-or-run guy. And that's why I wasn't sold on him coming into the NFL, because I think that's his skill set. My first read is open, or I'm going to tuck it and run, try to make a play. All right, so I don't buy in. I think, honestly, there are tons of NFL teams that don't have as good of an offensive coordinator as Bobby Petrino. So I actually think Bobby Petrino got about as much as he could out of Lamar Jackson at the college level. But regardless of what he did at the college level, this is about what he's going to do at the pro level.
No, I totally agree. That second year, though, he did make big strides, and he won the Heisman. There's an argument to be made. John Harbaugh, Ozzie Newsome, those guys. Greg Roman is the QB's coach. He did a lot of good with Tyrod Taylor up at Buffalo.
All right, but who is he?
Now,
who is he? All that's fine. You can just name coaches.
Michael Vick.
Yeah, name coaches is fine. Who is he? Who can he be?
I think he can be Michael Vick with the Philadelphia Eagles when they were on that run coming back. And Michael Vick gave him credit that he is a better athlete than himself. And I think you're selling Lamar's arm very short. There's a video of him in high school throwing a ball 100 yards. I'll post you it on Twitter. But
yeah,
he's a very phenomenal athlete.
The arm thing is less important. Thanks for the call. First of all, Michael Vick is being nice and saying, I think that Lamar Jackson is a better athlete than him. I think that's Michael Vick being humble, personally. There are videos of Kyle Bowler on his knees at midfield, throwing the ball and hitting the goalpost, right? That's how big of an arm that guy has. What is Kyle Bowler doing now? He ain't anywhere near the NFL. Ted in Minnesota, what's up?
Oh, it's Chad, sorry. I think that
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
I have written on my screen Ted in Minnesota, and you tell me your name is Chad in Minnesota? All right. Yep. Hold on a sec. Well, I'm going to come to you in a sec. Hold on. Yeah, Dub. Ted and Chad do not sound remotely similar. How did you manage to hear one name that was not similar at all to the other one?
Your ears must be a little fuzzy this Valentine's morning.
Good start for you. Are you drunk? Ted, all right, what you got for me?
I have to give him a pass, though, because there are times where I do mumble a bit, so it did probably sound like Ted, so I'll give him the pass.
All right, who you got? Who is Lamar Jackson at the best?
Lamar Jackson is going to be Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to actually break the mold. I think with the new offenses coming to the NFL, I think the RPO is going to be installed into a lot of offenses, and I think Lamar Jackson could probably thrive in that type of situation. So I
Doesn't
think
work.
He's actually going to break the mold.
Yeah, I appreciate the argument of Lamar Jackson is going to break the mold and change everything we think about quarterbacks in the NFL. Frankly, I think that's a ludicrous argument. It's not like deciding to run the ball at the quarterback position is something that NFL teams have never thought about before. It's far more likely, I think, that Lamar Jackson gets lit up in week one and knocked out with a concussion than it is that in week 10 we're like, oh my God, Lamar Jackson has changed everything we believed was possible at the quarterback position. I don't think he's a mold breaker. That's an argument you can make. Certainly that would mean Lamar Jackson's going to be an unbelievable success. I have not seen anything to reflect that, in my opinion. Tommy in Florida, what's up?
Hey, man, great show. I have 2 points. One, the guy that he reminds me of completely is a guy by the name of Braxton Miller. Braxton Miller you said it about 5 minutes ago. You said he's he looks for the first pass, and as soon as that's not open, he takes off. I'm a Buckeye fan. I watched this guy for 3 or 4 years. That's exactly what he did. He was an incredible athlete and became a wide receiver, which is exactly what Lamar Jackson should do. My comment that I think is a far much further or better question for you to pursue is, why do these GMs and coaches and guys like your last call, why do they keep falling for this? We have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, who couldn't run around the block inside of an hour and a half, are the two best quarterbacks in the last 20 years, and we keep falling for these guys who are great for about 6 or 7 games. Everybody gets tape on them, and they get knocked out of games, and they're no good anymore. Why do they keep doing this?
Well, because there's a lot – thanks for the call. Because there's lots of guys who you hoped would be the next Peyton Manning and Tom Brady that turned into Blaine Gabbert. It's hard to find successful quarterbacks in the NFL no matter what. And I think people see a mobile quarterback, and they think, oh, maybe this guy can be Russell Wilson. Right? Maybe we can train him to the point where he can be an incredible pocket passer and then also be able to scramble when the play breaks down. And I think what you're finding out is, just like it's hard to find another Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, it's hard to find another Russell Wilson too, because the story here is pretty straightforward. No position is more difficult to find successful playmakers at than the quarterback position. And what I would say is, as a huge NFL fan who has been watching NFL play for 25 years, the only thing that I have seen that consistently works is a guy who can make third down and 8 conversions. Ultimately, I don't care about anything else, and I'm just using 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 6, whatever. When you know you have to pass on third down, the only thing that consistently works in the NFL is the guy who can do that. And I have not seen anything that suggests to me that Lamar Jackson is capable of doing that. Dan in St. Louis. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, a couple of points here. I think that somewhat is unfair to judge Lamar after 1 year. He can evolve. You make it seem like he cannot evolve. Let me say this, Clay. Even from day one, when you used to talk to Alex Marvez, at the beginning of the quarterbacks, you never said anything about Lamar. You didn't think that he was going to start. You talked about the 4 other quarterbacks. Now, he went head-to-head with 2 of those people, and he beat those people. I tell you what.
All right, Dan. I think, first of all, okay, everybody gets judged after their rookie year in the NFL. So it's too early to judge them. If we were doing sports talk radio right now in New York, everybody is talking about Sam Darnold and how he did in year one. If we were doing sports talk radio in Cleveland, everybody is talking about Baker Mayfield and how he did in year one. If we were doing sports talk radio in Arizona, everybody is talking about Josh Rosen and whether or not he was good enough to potentially pass on Kyler Murray or not. So the quarterback position, regardless of who the person is, after the rookie year, every single city where they have a rookie quarterback is debating whether or not he was good enough. So I don't buy into, oh, you can't talk about him. It's only been 1 year. No, that's completely wrong. Every quarterback gets talked about consistently.
Well, also, I would say this. Black quarterbacks has just recently, in the last 10, 20 years, has really been just coming in to being a quarterback. It normally used to be just a white position. Not trying to be racist or anything, but it was just that. So to try to compare him to another black quarterback, there's not that many out there. But I would say this, though. Who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Peyton Manning or any of those people because of his leadership. Not his ability to throw the ball. And if you think about Tom Brady, all he needs to do is get playmakers around him. Tom Brady only throws the ball 8 yards and gets somebody in space and they get the first down. And I think Lamar can do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for the call. Lamar Jackson is not – again, I have asked you. We're on in all 50 states worldwide. I have asked you, point me to somebody that Lamar Jackson reminds you of after his rookie year that has been really successful at the quarterback position in the NFL. And basically nobody has been able to come up with anybody. Maybe Michael Vick. Is that accurate, guys on the show so far? Have you heard any? Has anybody made a compelling case for Lamar Jackson being similar to a guy who has been successful in the NFL so far?
No, I think the best argument besides Michael Vick would be, is he going to break the mold and be the first ever Lamar Jackson?
And that's, again, mold breakers are rare. That means that you are going to be historically first ballot Hall of Famer, unquestionable. Like I said, LeBron James, mold breaker. He's Karl Malone, except he plays point guard effectively. Oh, if I told you that 25 years ago, I'd been like, hey, I think the next really good player in the NBA that reminds me body type of Karl Malone is going to play point guard instead. You'd have been like, you're crazy. Except, by the way, LeBron's a better athlete than Karl Malone was. Let's go to David in Tennessee. David, what's up?
Hey, Clay. I just want to like kind of get in with like I compare him to Steve Young a little when Steve Young's rookie year in Tampa, maybe with not arm wise, but like. Maybe Steve Young with Tebow's arm?
That's interesting. Steve Young is at least an argument where you could maybe – it's hard
to
judge.
Yeah, that's not bad because he did evolve, Steve Young.
Well,
did.
Steve Young is hard to judge because I begin – somebody can pull up his history. But Steve Young began in the USFL. So it's hard to even really judge Steve Young and know exactly what he would have been like. But Steve Young is at least an argument. Okay, you want to tell me that Lamar Jackson is going to be Steve Young. That's an interesting argument. I don't know what Steve Young's rookie year statistics were, and I don't know that you could make the argument that you can even compare. I think he was in the USFL when he would have started first, right, before he ended up going and ended up with the 49ers. That's an argument, all right?
Didn't
so if you want to make
Tampa
the case.
Bay first?
But I think it was the Tampa Bay USFL team. Somebody, okay. Somebody.
No, he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1985. He played 5 games.
As he started in the USFL in Los Angeles.
And then he was in the USFL?
He was in the USFL first.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So it's hard to judge him because he came in and didn't even play in the NFL to begin with. And obviously he sat on the bench for, what, years and years before he came in as the heir apparent to Joe Montana. But you want to make a Steve Young argument? All right, I don't think it necessarily applies here because it's hard for me to compare the eras and also even what Steve Young was capable of when he was a rookie, but that's at least an argument. Eddie in Texas, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I just want to compare, and I'll mention him earlier, you did, Travis, RG3. I mean, I think that's his ceiling because I totally agree with you. The NFL is a third down league, and it starts with your, you're right, Brady and Peyton Manning, they make things happen on third down with their cerebral qualities first, and I don't mean that he cannot do that, but then it goes to arm strength. Can you diagnose and then get the ball out with your arm strength and or a combination of those two things?
Yeah,
and
I think ultimately –
and then he's going to break down and run on third down, and he's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think he's going to last in the NFL, and so it kind of compares him to RG3.
Yeah, I mean, RG3 is a better passer as a rookie. I mean, RG3 at Baylor was a phenomenal passing quarterback. and had the ability to make every throw and see the field well, I don't think RG3 is that good of a comparison. Again, I feel like I am going back in time and reliving the Vince Young era, because the things that people are saying about Lamar Jackson are saying about Vince Young, except Vince Young was a lot bigger. But the argument at the time was, oh, Vince Young is going to change the quarterback position. I lived through this in Nashville, and I was a believer. I believed in VY after his rookie year. I was like, man, this guy's going to change the NFL. Too big, too strong, too fast, got a cannon for an arm. Big physical guy, can take every hit even when he needs to scramble. He's not going to get injured. Everything's going to be different. Let me get a bunch more of your calls in. We're going to talk with Shannon Spake, by the way, up next. Kyle in Vegas, is that up next?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
All right, so to me, Lamar Jackson is three quarterbacks in one. Quincy Carter, Dante Culpepper, Mitchell Trubisky. He has the speed, the lack of the awareness, but he's not a great third down passer, like you stated. You got to be able to get the ball out and complete those passes on third and short, maybe third and eight. And his lack of IQ as of right now is going to be the key downfall to the situation come long term.
All right, thanks for the call. Look, here's what I would just say in general. Watch the NFL and just focus on third down plays where you have to throw. That's ultimately where NFL wins and losses come. And when you know a guy has to drop back and pass, when he hasn't been able to run the ball, look, the Ravens did a great job on first and second down, getting first downs and putting Lamar Jackson into third and very short. But when you have to drop back in the pocket, when you can't run for the first down, when you have to throw for it, which is why I say third and eight, ultimately, all I care about is who's good in third and long passing. Who converts the most first downs? I think if you looked at that, that would be almost a direct reflection of who's the best in the NFL. And I question whether Lamar Jackson can pull any of that off. It's a good debate.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Talking to Shannon Spake, she has moved up into the big chair at the Daytona 500, part of Fox's coverage of the big event that's going to be going on Sunday. You can follow Shannon on Twitter at Shannon Spake. Easy to find there. I just tweeted out the link to her Twitter profile. You can react to her breakdown of Lamar Jackson versus Joe Flacco and what a 50-year-old man who is only making out with a 40-year-old woman should do for Valentine's Day. You said you have a quiz for me.
I do.
All right.
So Todd Furman's been in our Charlotte studio all week. We had him on the show yesterday, and he said that you guys were going to be interviewing Jeff Gordon, right?
Yes, that's correct. True? Yes. Jeff all Gordon right. is so, on Lock It In today, and Todd Furman, for people who don't know, is one of the co-hosts, and he has mm-hmm. been in Charlotte in your studio all week.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so here's a couple questions to get you ready for the Gordon interview. The nickname of his race team in the 90s was what?
Oh, God. I have no earthly idea.
The Rainbow Warriors.
What was the basis for that? I know he's from California, which is a good knowledge on my part. Does he have
it has
like Hawaiian?
To do with him being from California.
Does he have Hawaiian? Does he have Hawaiian pit crew?
No, his car, the paint scheme on his car was actually rainbow. It was rainbow colors, so they were called the Rainbow Warriors.
Interesting. I would have had no clue. These are tough questions, by the way.
Okay, so when Jeff Gordon won his first Cup title, what drink did he toast Dale Earnhardt with in his championship speech?
Budweiser.
Milk.
And that's commonplace, right? But wasn't Dale Earnhardt a Budweiser guy? Or was that Junior?
Dale Junior was. But Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon had this huge rivalry, and so Dale used to call him the Wonder Boy and said that if he ever won, he was so young, he wouldn't be able to drink champagne. He'd have to toast him with milk. So when Jeff Gordon won,
that's actually really
he went
cool.
up there.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you might get this one. Name the song and the artist, you might get this one, that uses Jeff Gordon's name in his song. So song and artist.
It's Ludacris, isn't it?
Warm?
Nelly? Ish?
Nelly. Someone gave you the answer.
No. I immediately can hear the, I can hear, and I'm bad on song titles. But is the Nelly song, I mean, I immediately think of it. Like, and I'm trying to remember, Yeehaw, yeehaw.
That's right. There you go.
Is that the name of the song?
That is the name of the song.
All right, there you go. That's pretty good.
Good at least, job. Hey, 1 out of 3.
1 out of 3, I would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, let's be honest, in baseball. Also yeah, would true. Get an F on every test that's ever been given in the history of mankind, but I'm going to focus on the baseball side. So what should people know about this year's Daytona 500, and most importantly, who should I bet on? Because Todd Furman is going to talk a lot of trash, and I know he talks to so many of these drivers. He has so much inside information. It's really not fair.
Well, the thing about the Daytona 500, Clay, is it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
You can go and you can look at all those odds and stuff. And I mean, we saw in the Clash on Sunday night, there were 20 cars in the Clash. It was an exhibition race, and all but 3 were involved in a wreck at the end of the race. So it's Daytona is known for the big one, and the reason why is because the cars run so close together because of the restrictor plates that it's oftentimes 3 or 4 wide with just inches off the bumper. And so if a car gets squirrely and goes into the wall or it happens to tap someone, I mean, they're going 200 miles an hour. It just collects everyone behind them. So it's a lot about luck. It's about making it to that last lap. And then I think there's some crazy stat where the last, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 races, the leader on the last lap has not ended up winning the race because of all these last lap passes that can happen. So it's very, very, very hard to bet on this race. But if you look historically, like, I'll throw out some names. Joey Logano is so good on restrictor plates. Brad Keselowski has not won the Daytona 500. He's very good. Penske Racing. And then, like, long shots, you can look at Paul Menard, who was actually out front for most of the Clash. So I know that these names are completely, like, I'm probably speaking a different language to you, but those are all guys that you watch. But Daytona, there's just a different energy. We call it the Super Bowl of our sport. It's the first race of the year, and I know, people go, why is the first race of the year the Super Bowl? It just is, because it's the Daytona 500. It makes careers for drivers. Every single guy wants to win this race.
How did you get into NASCAR?
It kind of found me living in Charlotte and working in sports. I knew very little about racing. I got a job at Speed Channel back in 2005. And then when NASCAR was going back to ESPN in 2007, ESPN hired me. I don't know why. I remember sitting in someone's office on my interview, and they were looking at me like, you were a production assistant, you know, 1 year ago, and
yeah.
Now you're here, you know, trying to get a job as a reporter for ESPN. But it, you know, hey, it's been great to me. NASCAR has been really, really good to me over the years. I've literally grown up in the garage, and it's a sport that I care very much about.
Shannon, a last question for you, and we got to be fast here.
Sure.
Black hat, white hat matters very often in the world of sports. Who's black hat, white hat, the good guy and the bad guy in your mind right now in NASCAR?
Oh, my goodness. So Jimmy Johnson, I think he's kind of wearing the black hat right now. He's a 7-time champion, and he's always been sort of the good guy. But we've seen him make some very aggressive moves in the last, like, I would say 6 months. He didn't win a race all of last year, and he was the one who sparked that big crash in the Clash. So I think he's the guy that people are looking at right now. And then Chase Elliott has taken over the reins for the most popular driver from Dale Earnhardt Jr., I should say, who had it for so many years. So I think he's the guy that everyone is just, he's the good guy right now.
Outstanding, as always, Shannon Spake. We need to get you on regularly. I'll be watching Sunday. Watch her on NASCAR. Final hour, Thursday edition. Up next, let's roll on OutKick. Live from the Geico OutKick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you listened to me and got hooked up and didn't blow it. And if you did, sorry. Feel bad for you, son. Got 99 problems, but bitch may be one now. What a way to start. I got to say, as we roll into hour number 3 edition here of OutKick, we've got a poll question up. You can go vote in it. We spent a lot of time discussing this. With who would you rather have as your quarterback for the next 3 years, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson? Neither, not an option. 10,000 of you so far have voted. Pretty even poll. 53% saying they want Lamar Jackson. 47% saying Joe Flacco. Of course, that's news because Joe Flacco being traded to Denver and Lamar Jackson now presumptively the unquestioned starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. So that is where we are. You can go vote there. But it's also Valentine's Day. Was that a questionable reference to start off, Danny G, there? Dropping the line there?
We're not surprised from you.
Yeah. Well, we just had – let me say this, a couple of things. One, we're going to talk to Todd Furman this hour, get you some gambling picks as we head into the weekend, get ready for it. Two, and by the way, MyBookie is coming on as a big sponsor on this show, and I'll mention this again when Todd Furman comes on, but if you use the phrase Clay 50 or Outkick, two different phrases, easy to remember, if you go to mybookie.ag and you put in Clay 50 or Outkick, they will give you a 50% sign-up bonus. So if you put $100 in, they'll give you an extra $50. If you put $1,000, they'll give you an extra $500. If you put in $500, they'll give you an extra $250. Half of whatever money you deposit, they'll give you for free to gamble. So you get a free roll there. Again, that's if you go to mybookie.ag and you use the phrase Clay50 or if you use the phrase Outkick. That will be an easy setup in general. Also, I always say this. Shannon Spake was just awesome. If you enjoyed hearing Shannon Spake on the show, go shoot her a Twitter message, at Shannon Spake. I always say this because I do a lot of radio myself, and I think every radio show host should say this. Thank the guests. The guests come on, do a good job, and you're entertained by them. I can tell you it makes a big difference when I get asked to do radio, local radio, all the time, right? And it's really hard to fit everything into my schedule. And the stations that I go on consistently are either, one, I have a really good friendship with the person that I go on with, and there's a lot of that. But two, where I get the most reaction, where people say either they agree or disagree, but people just react on social media. You're a small fraction of the overall audience is on social media, but it does make a difference. So shoot a line, if you would, to at Shannon Spake. Now, it is Valentine's Day, and I thought we should jump in and tell worst Valentine's Day stories. So we're going to be joined by Todd Furman in a little bit, and Todd Furman's worst Valentine's Day story is everyone, because he hasn't ever had a girlfriend before, I'm convinced. But for the rest of you out there, 877-996-6369, the worst Valentine's Day of your life. Who can tell the best story? Anybody in the crew got any? I actually, even though it's my topic and it's my show, I actually don't really have any bad Valentines. Now, there might be girls that I've been with on Valentine's Day who could say, actually, every Valentine's Day I ever spent with Clay Travis was awful. But myself, like, I don't really think there's anything awful that's ever happened on Valentine's Day for me. Other than, you know, the usual, which is you forget to make reservations at a restaurant and you tell your girlfriend or your wife, oh, I'm sure we can get in. Good luck with that. There's always a lot of those dudes who didn't make plans and then everybody else has got the table and you walk in, you're like, yeah, table for two. And they're like, they just laugh at you. Yeah, you know, people have been reserving tables on Valentine's Day for months, literally. And your stupid ass is just showing up and thinking you're going to be able to waltz right in and get a table. Probably not going to happen. Danny G, what you got for me?
About 10 years ago, I was on like a fourth date with a girl. And just...
So 10 years ago, you were 42?
How dare you? I was right. 67.
Yeah.
Like Nick Saban. Let's see. Yeah. So I was 30. I was on a fourth date with a really good looking Latina girl.
People should know, by the way, you've never been married.
No, I actually was married very early in my life.
Oh,
yeah.
This is a plot twist.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
23.
And how long were you married?
For a year and a half.
You were married for what happened?
Just, you know,
grew. Was she the same age?
She was 3 years older than me.
What does she do now?
She runs two restaurants in Seattle.
So how did I not know this? So you got divorced after a year and a half. So
yeah.
What, that's kind of the length of time where people should not have to, like, you should have to pay for all the wedding presents that they bought for you.
No, it wasn't a big wedding like that. Her family lived in Vegas at the time.
Yeah.
And we went there for a holiday and we just went to a chapel. We got married. I mean, we were best friends. I had known her for a couple of years prior. To us
starting to
date. Were you
sober when you got married?
Oh, yeah. We were sober.
Yeah.
Not afterwards, though. We were at the casinos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it young. She was like one of my very first serious girlfriends. And, you know, I grew up in a very religious family. So, it, you know, you live in sin if you live with somebody without being married. I was kind of just living in the light of, you know, the way my family raised us and everything.
So you got married. You were married for a year and a half. Then you got divorced. And then you're 30 and you're out on Valentine's Day. And what happened?
Yeah, I've never been married since. I was in one long relationship that I posted about on Twitter yesterday. But yeah, this girl 10 years ago, it was early on dating her. So we started dating in January. So then February comes, and as a guy, you're like, man, this is bad timing. I just started dating this girl. I'm going to have to show out a little bit because I got to make it special for her. So we go to a fancy restaurant in Santa Barbara. They give you that special menu where it's three options and all of them bankrupt you.
Yes.
So the whole night, as a guy, it's just you're doing the math in your head. And then
it's an awful holiday for men. Ugh. It is basically, what I always say is, it's like a relationship microwave. If you are in, it just heats up everything way faster than it otherwise should. You can't have like a normal situation. It's an accelerant.
Yeah.
So, and it's obviously insanely expensive, and only men are at risk for Valentine's Day because only things go awry for us.
For sure. So I'm doing the math in my head. I give her her gifts. She's happy. But, you know, this bill is racking up fast for this day. So we end this expensive dinner and we're driving back on the 101 freeway. Lights behind me. Sirens. I'm like, oh, you got
to
be
kidding. You're driving back to L.A. from Santa Barbara. Yeah.
Back to the San Fernando Valley. And I get pulled over for speeding. He clocked me doing 98.
That's speeding.
Yes. Now, what they always tell you is, this is what I clocked you up, but I'll write the ticket for, you know, for a smaller number than that. I'm sitting there. Now we're just on the side of the freeway. To the right of us is the beautiful Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
You see the moon, the moonlight, you know, on the waves. And she looks at me as the sirens are behind us and a couple more CHP officers are pulling up. I don't know if I look threatening or something. And she looks at me and she says, well, this is romantic. Probably took a half hour, writes me a ticket, finally get back to my place. Now, the night did end well. It was the first time we hooked up and it was great and everything, but I'll never forget the next morning doing the math and that sting from that expensive speeding ticket.
Well, that's a pretty substantial effort to go to Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah. When you have a high maintenance girl you're dealing with, you kind of want to plan something special and go out of your way.
You would have been better off to just get a hotel room in Santa Barbara based on what you had to pay driving back.
Oh,
right?
for sure. But since it was our fourth date and we hadn't hooked up yet, I didn't want to be pushy with an aggressive move like that. Yeah, it was worth the drive to Santa Barbara. It was a cool restaurant and it was a pretty drive seeing the ocean, just not with sirens behind you.
Yeah, that raises the question. You're basically paying for sex at that point, right? You are thinking, if I spend enough money, this girl is going to sleep with me.
Well,
right?
I mean, she wound up being my girlfriend for 2 years.
I understand that. But in the back of your mind, every move like that, it's like, I'm going to drive to time and money is all about persuading her to sleep with you.
Oh, yeah. She was beautiful. I wanted her clothes off.
Yeah. That was probably too much information. But at least you weren't like our 50-year-old man we were giving advice to. So you spend several hundred dollars on a meal and several hundred dollars probably on a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
877-996-6369. Worst Valentine's Day experiences. Dub or Iowa Sam. Anything. Do any of you have girlfriends?
Well, Eddie Garcia is married.
I know. I'm making fun of the other two guys.
Oh, got you.
Eddie, have you also been married? Did you also get married in a Vegas showroom when you were like 23 and you never confessed to it before?
No.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day tonight?
Nothing special, I don't think, as far as like, you know, an official going out to dinner.
Did you get your wife anything?
No.
Nothing?
Nope. She's actually, I know you may not agree with this, but she actually doesn't really care about Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she's lying, and you have failed.
Well, she's been a good liar for many years then.
Yeah, well, at one point, you're going to go home from the show, and all your stuff's going to be out on the sidewalk, and you're going to be like, what? I don't understand what happened. She said, you know those 18 consecutive years on Valentine's Day when you didn't give me anything?
Yeah.
Finally, we had a breaking point.
Well, it was a good 18 years, though.
It's lucky for you, women don't keep score.
I wouldn't say my wife. My wife does keep score on some things.
That's a joke. Every single woman is the most aggressive scorekeeper on the planet. Like, you'll be like, everything's going great. I haven't done anything wrong. Your wife will be like, remember 10 years, 2 months, and 8 days ago when you said X and Y turned out to be true? And you'll be like, I honestly have no recollection of that. I don't remember yesterday. I definitely don't remember 10 years, 2 months, 8 days ago. And she'll have something that you've done wrong. There's no, like, the most punitive scorekeeper imaginable. Your wife or your girlfriend, if it's a serious relationship, has a perpetual like a scorecard. It's like you're playing golf all the time. You have no idea, and she's giving you stroke penalties everywhere. Like you have any idea that you've done anything wrong? You think you're under par. Turns out you're 25 over par. What you got, Dub? Are you single?
I am single, Clay.
Completely single.
Valentine's Day. It's always a tough day for me because naturally, I fall back and think of all the wonderful memories that I've developed over the years with me and my ex-girlfriends, all the highs, all the lows. I've basically spent, you know, the better part of the last 3 years just thinking of ways that I could win just one of them back. And I think Valentine's Day, it presents...
Is this actually true? You're trying to win back? Why did you break up with your last girlfriend?
Well, this is, you know, pretty much all satire, but it is a good day to reflect, and you take to social media and reflect on your times that you've had with your ex-girlfriends, which I did last year in a lovely Instagram post. And so today there may be another reflective post that I could share on Twitter on this lovely Valentine's Day.
Yeah, if you share it on Instagram, I won't see it, because the only thing I ever see on Instagram is hot girl pictures, and you're not a hot girl, so I will never see it if you share it on Instagram.
I'll take to Twitter.
Instagram's entire business model is predicated on hot girls sharing photos. I'm not even kidding about that. Like,
it works.
I mean, the company's worth like $20 billion. But if tomorrow they said, you know what, hot girls can't share photos anymore, Instagram would be worth $28. I mean, the entire business model is predicated on hot girls sharing photos. I go into that Discover page. It's like, here's what the people who you follow are following. And I'm not even kidding about this. The entire page is just hot chicks. I don't know who I follow, but it's like, these are the people that you follow Instagram. You know, they give you the suggestions. The entire page is just hot chicks. So everybody that I follow, I'm on Instagram and I hardly ever post anything because I find that it's just like a hot girl, like a mirror where you just end up clicking around from one hot girl to another. And then like, it's like 2 hours later and you got drool coming off your face and you're like, you have no idea how the time passed. And you're on like somebody's girlfriend's sister from 10 years ago that you knew. And you're like, man, I didn't know she was so hot. Like, when did she grow up? So, I mean, that's basically Instagram for me every single time that I get on. Yeah, what you got?
All right, really quick, Clay, and we can figure this out during the break too, if you want to weigh in with a vote. Now, you're a 90s music fan, luckily for all of us, because most of the OutKick listeners love 90s music. So this morning so far, well, we started with some classic Reverend Al Green, but since then, all 90s R&B, Bobby Brown, Casey and JoJo, Mint Condition. On my list, I have R. Kelly and Public Announcement, because in the early 90s, one of the cassette tapes that me and my first girlfriend wore out was Public Announcement. R. Kelly had a huge hit. It's basically what put him on the map was a song called Honey Love. So that's a classic Valentine's Day staple. Now, I have it on my list, but Iowa Sam, who's been filling in nicely for Roberto all week, told me a few minutes ago that he refuses to play R. Kelly music.
Is this true, Iowa Sam, because of the Leaving R. Kelly documentary? You're opposed?
Absolutely. The guy's a scumbag. He's been dropped from his record label. I will not play him. He will not be making the light of day.
Man, you gotta separate the man. What about
You gotta separate the man from the music. No, I know about the man. The music reflects on the man.
That you wouldn't play Ignition?
I will not play any of his music.
Oh, is this insubordination?
No, I mean, this is my job, and I will not be insubordination. I don't know. Ignition is maybe the greatest R&B song of all time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, listen, has his music like...
What about Michael Jackson? You know, they're about to have that Michael Jackson documentary, and everybody's going to be up in arms because they said he tried to marry little boys. I mean, the boys say they had wedding ceremonies with him.
I mean, there's been like countless women that have come forward with like very emotional testimony about what he's done to them.
Yeah, but what's your standard on the Michael Jackson? When this documentary comes out and this kid says, I was 8 years old and Michael Jackson got married to me and then he raped me, are you going to be like, well, I'm not playing Man in the Mirror anymore?
Well, here's the thing. Michael Jackson hasn't been dropped from, he hasn't been buried on Spotify's searches and algorithms.
See, but I separate the artist right. from the awful human being.
Yeah, yeah, well, I do too. Thank you.
I try to, but after seeing Surviving R. Kelly,
What if we compromise and we play TLC Waterfall?
Sure. We can play Scrubs too if you want.
I think TLC should be the rest of the show. I love TLC.
Now, wait a second.
And so far, they haven't raped anybody or been accused of sexual assault that I'm aware of.
As far as you know, Lisa Left Eye burned.
She did burn down Andre Rison's home. But she's dead now, so it doesn't matter, right? Didn't she die?
She did, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's tough. So Chili and T-Boz, they haven't burned anybody's house down, and so far, to my knowledge, they haven't been accused of sexual assault.
There's so many good Valentine songs out there that the reason
nothing like Honey Love.
All right, hold on. We got to get to some calls. I'll ask him about this R. Kelly stuff, too. All right, hold on. Zach in Arizona, what you got for me?
Man, Clay, I hope you're having a great day, man. But me and my wife, we were doing a Valentine's Day celebration about 6 years ago. She wanted to do some skydiving, so we did indoor skydiving to be safe. But in that time frame, I lost my wedding ring during that phase. So this Valentine's Day adventure turned into another $1,500 wedding ring that I had to buy.
So you lost it indoors? I would think they'd be able to find it. It's not like you were actually in the air.
Well, there's this like huge wind tunnel with this giant fan, and that fan probably ate that ring up.
That's a good excuse, by the way. When you come back home and you don't have your wedding ring on, what happened? Well, we were skydiving indoors. I don't. By the way, thanks for the call.
She was with me.
I don't think skydiving indoors should even be able to be called skydiving. Right? I mean, the purpose of the skydiving is to actually be in the sky diving. Like, if you're skydiving indoors, that's like me saying, yeah, I went swimming with killer whales and I just walked through an aquarium. Like, it's really not the same thing at all. I understand the intent. That's a tough break to lose your wedding ring. I was out at Super Bowl with one of my buddies. I said, hey, where's your wedding ring? He said, oh, well, I've lost some weight, and my wedding ring keeps falling off. And I said, so you just don't wear it anymore? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, that's not a good line. Good luck with that one. Woody in Indiana. What's up, Woody?
Hey, I got a good one for you. But first, you know, remember back in the Super Bowl when Peyton had 2 minutes, 42 seconds? Fourth quarter, the Colts were down, and he threw it to the Saints.
Yes.
I think we're even now. Hey, but anyway, I like these Asian honeys. My buddy fixed me up on a blind date. I just turned 18, and I got out. We got to the restaurant, and I found out that this Asian was a dude. Dude, I ran back to Mooresville as fast as I could.
Thanks for the call.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't know that the Asian part really matters there. If that were a true story, and you're like, I like Asian girls, and I went out to a restaurant, and I found out I was with a dude, does the Asian part matter? Just tossing it out there. Like, if he had been like, you know what, I love Hispanic girls, and then I went to the part of the story that matters, if it's true, is that the girl is a dude, right? It's not like, oh, I thought this was an Asian girl, and it turned out to be an Asian girl that was a dude. The dude part is the part that matters. The race and ethnicity and gender or whatever else, the gender is the part that matters. Got to be better at the story, especially if you're making it up. And also, Dub, come on. Let's do all that. This is you and your generation spending all your time on Instagram. You fall for guys like Woody in Indiana, think they're real. Brian in Atlanta, what's up?
Hey, was her name Lola? Anyway, I had this girlfriend, and she made a coupon booklet for me, and I'll always remember it. I should have kept it because it was really cool. It had all kind of, you know,
like
naughty
sex
things
coupon
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great, man. And, it, you know, and she's like, you know, redeem them whenever you want, baby. And it was so cool. It was so thoughtful. And I just always remember it. And I, like I said, I wish I had kept it because it was really, really creative. And she was a good gal.
And then you broke up with her. Smart move. Yeah, okay. That's a great story. I was with this great girl. She gave me a sex booklet, said I could redeem the sex tickets anytime I want, and she was awesome, and I loved her, and then I broke up with her. And now you're alone by yourself calling me in the morning on Valentine's Day. Tony in Cincinnati, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Clay? Big-time fan, man.
Appreciate that.
Hey, it's about 10, 12 years ago, dating a really nice girl, and we were kind of on the outs, you know, coming towards Valentine's Day, and I figured, you know, we'll get through the holiday kind of thing, and then, you know, we'll part ways. And
she shows up Valentine's Day with a brand new 12-string guitar for me. It cost about $1,000. You know, one of the nicest gifts I've ever received in my world. And so my story, Valentine's Day lasted me 3 months because I stayed with her for 3 more months knowing I was just putting in time for her good gesture.
There's no doubt. I mean, if you go with a great gift on Valentine's Day, you definitely paint the other person into a corner. They can't leave. Right? I mean, that's the truth. If you, like, you got a $1,000 gift there, you can't break up with somebody who gave you a $1,000 gift. The only thing worse than breaking up with her would be, like, if you gave the gift back and she's like, he broke up with me and then he made me carry the guitar home. And then she got to, what does she do with the guitar? Probably can't return it. Every time she sees it, probably breaks it. Like a rock star style. She's got, making her carry the guitar home with her would be such a disappointing thing. Patrick in New York, what's up?
Hey, Clay. See, those were easy calls to go after. No pressure there. Woody was a fantastic call. So, I've been married for 6 years. Every year, my wife is very chill, very cool. Doesn't put a lot of pressure on holidays. So, she said the year before last, you know, this is stupid. What a waste of money. These cards, flowers, chocolate. So, I thought we were off the hook. So, I made the ultimate mistake. I get out of work last Valentine's Day, go to the gym, stop at Lowe's, grab some paint to finish the bathroom like it's a normal day, get home, and business as usual. No, she didn't do anything for me. Well, I woke up that morning, 4 o'clock, to her bawling in bed because I didn't get her anything for Valentine's Day. She pulls out of the bedstand a card and a gift for me, and she's been keeping score ever since. Yeah. I'm going to have to pay for it this year.
There you go. And I know people out there think that they're not keeping score. I drove home last night. I went to go watch a mid-major basketball game between Lipscomb and Liberty. Got in the car. I took my two youngest kids, my 8-year-old, my 4-year-old, took them to the game. Driving home, I said, you know what we're going to do, guys? We're going to stop and we're going to get flowers. So what do you mean we're going to stop and get flowers? Well, first of all, I thought that the flower people that we've been doing the ads for, I was told that they were going to send flowers to my house. Because then I can be like, oh, look, hey, honey, look, I got you flowers. It's like, no, they're advertising on your radio show and they just sent flowers here. No, I always say that I ordered them. They didn't come. They didn't come for me. I've been telling everybody to go to Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers usually takes care of me. They send me a bunch of flowers. They didn't come this year. I don't know what happened. I'm sending thousands of people to go buy flowers from them. They didn't send me any. So I'm coming home. I say, you know what? We're going to go buy roses. Stop at the grocery store. Buy roses for mom and nanny, and if grandma were in town, we'd buy roses for grandma too. Grandma's not in town. She's living down at my beach house for the month. Good life for her. So we go buy roses. Why do we get roses, Dad? Because you always get roses for the women in your life on Valentine's Day because you never know when they're going to be mad that you didn't get roses for them on Valentine's Day. It's just Valentine's Day. I'm telling my kids already, 8 and 4 years old, Valentine's Day protection. Just make the smart move. Always get protection. Always use protection on Valentine's Day. Roses. Dustin in Indiana. What's up, Dustin?
What's going on, Clay, man? Hey, good story here. My buddy, he starts dating this girl probably a month, and they're, you know, it's January. They meet up, whatnot. Well, she has a friend that is living with her at the time, and I took one for the team. I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and go out with you, a little double date Valentine's Day. So we're heading down to downtown Indianapolis to grab a bite to eat, and we run out of gas. So we pull up to the side of the road there. Next thing you know, we got a cop pulling up behind us, and he's just sitting there, and he calls in a couple of his buddies. We have the K-9 unit. Well, little behold, the girl that I was supposed to be going on a date with, she had a half of a pound of Coke in her big old little touche little baglet thing. And so we end up in jail for that.
Luckily, a half a pound of Coke?
A half of a pound. I'm not even saying 8 ball. I'm saying a half of a pound is what it was.
Was she a dealer?
She was. Yeah, absolutely. She was. She's from California, and she was just in town seeing her friend. My guess is she was trafficking the Coke over here to Indiana, to the Midwest area.
So I don't even know. So did you end up getting in trouble, or did they let you off because you're like, this is just some random chick that I'm taking out?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it cost me some good attorney fee money, but at the end of the day, everything got dropped on my end.
Man, imagine if that chick had, like, put the cocaine under the chair, under the seat in your car, and said it was never mine. Like, you probably
would. Oh, I know. It would have been a life changer, that's for sure.
A half pound of coke. That could have been a hell of a party for you, though. Thanks for the call. A half pound of coke. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if you're just taking out some random chick on Valentine's Day? You get pulled over. She panics, pulls a half pound of coke out, puts it underneath. Like, that's the kind of story an athlete would come out with, and you'd be like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. So some random girl just had a half pound of coke and just put it underneath your seat? Yeah, right. Yeah, sure, whatever. It'd be the worst luck ever.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Major controversy erupting on the show. First of all, Iowa Sam refusing to play R. Kelly, even Ignition. Like, you're legitimately refusing.
Yeah, I am.
So if Danny G said you have to play R. Kelly, you would quit your job rather than play R. Kelly?
No, I wouldn't quit.
Okay, so that's not really refusing.
Well, but I don't necessarily inherit termination okay. If I don't play a song.
So that the Danny G said we've got a real uproar here.
No, there's no
because
uproar.
I thought you might, like, that would be a really strong stance. Like, I am so anti R. Kelly that I will quit rather than play his song.
Well, I'm not quitting. I'm just refusing. I'm standing.
But you're
my ground.
Not actually refusing, because if we said no, you play it or you get fired, you would do it.
Well, I don't know if I'd be fired. I'm refusing.
But if I say the dictator
yeah.
here.
Okay. If you told me to play it, then I guess I'd play it, but I wouldn't feel too comfortable about it.
Well, see, it would be a lot more interesting. This would be a huge viral story if you refused and then we fired you, and then everybody would be like, "Well, who's in the right here?" Mm-hmm. Is it Clay Travis for saying that Ignition is a great Valentine's Day song, or is it Iowa Sam for refusing to play R.
Once
Kelly?
Upon a time, I used to think that his songs were great, but after I have seen, you know, the damage that he has left in his trail, then I'm not so hot on playing R. Kelly anymore.
So that's controversial.
Why?
Kristen,
see the documentary.
I don't know. I mean, that's a controversial part of the story. Like, what are we going to do about R. Kelly? But Kristen, who is a stay-at-home mom and crochet expert, just reached out to the show and said, "Your show is no longer kid-appropriate. I don't need my girls listening to your aggressive misogyny. I guess I will switch." What have I done today that's been aggressively misogynistic?
I don't know, because the entire show and yesterday's show, we've been preaching to all the male listeners to step their game up and treat their women right.
I mean, in all honesty, what have I done? Does anybody know? I mean, you may all be misogynist too, according to Kristen, who, by the way, spells Kristen with a C-H. I guess she's putting the Christ in Kristen. I want to go around the horn here. What have I done that's aggressively misogynistic today? I asked her. I said, "Please let me know," and she hasn't responded yet. But I don't even. Do you have any idea what I've done that's aggressively misogynistic today, Danny G?
Just that Jay-Z song reference.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
How is that aggressively misogynistic? That's one of the most famous lines in the history of music.
Just because you use the B word, maybe? I don't know.
But bitch is not prohibited. Eddie, what have I done that's aggressively misogynistic today?
Nothing that I can think of.
That's because you're a misogynist. Dub, what have I done? What have I done to offend Kristen?
Don't ask me. I'm a misogynist, Clay.
What about you, Iowa Sam?
Yeah.
You're clearly not a misogynist because you hate R. Kelly. Well, what have I done that's aggressively misogynistic today?
Now I'm just wondering if I'm going to lose my job because I refuse to play one song when there's literally thousands of good Valentine's songs out there.
But Ignition is the greatest song of all time.
It
for
is
Valentine's
a good song,
Day.
But I'm not a fan of the guy. That's just,
all right.
You know,
so Iowa Sam has to step out. Should he be fired? If we've never had this issue arise before. If he refuses to play a song that I request.
If you request it, Clay, if you want me to play it, I will play whatever you want.
Okay. But you should have really gone to the wall here instead of immediately relenting. So you're out of the equation right now.
I didn't immediately relent.
But pretend that we actually had this debate. Eddie Garcia, you've been working at Fox Sports Radio for like 52 years.
Yeah.
I bet this has never happened before where someone has refused to play a song requested by the guy who runs the show. What would I do? I don't even know.
There would probably have to be some sort of meeting between our boss and a conference call with Iowa Sam and
I don't want to do a conference call over this.
If you want to hear the song, we'll hear the song. It's up to
Sam
you.
Sam is now scared. I can hear the fear.
No, I'm not going to.
It's a matter of he
is safe. No. I'm telling him that if he really cared about the show, he should have just played it up and we would have fired him and then it would have gone viral everywhere because everybody would have had an opinion on whether or not he should have played Ignition.
My employment and livelihood, I don't care if it goes viral or not. I'm not, I still have to support myself.
No.
The viral trending doesn't get me any money.
For you. Yeah. You would have become a social
justice
warrior.
I would become a martyr.
A martyr and a hero. Yeah.
Well, that's great, but is that going to pay my bills?
Maybe, because somebody else out there, one of the social justice warriors might hire you because they're so impressed that you weren't willing to play R. Kelly.
Clay, I love working at Fox, so I'm pretty comfortable here and... So if you would like to hear R. Kelly, that can be arranged.
I'm disappointed in how quickly Iowa Sam, like Danny G, you came to me and said he is refusing to play.
I have all this pressure being applied
to
me.
And then it takes me 5 seconds of actually asking him to play it.
Well, because you're threatening termination, Clay. Come on. First of all, that's not up to you. Second of all,
I think it would be up to me.
I would hope Scott Shapiro
and Don Martin would say you can't trust a guy who won't play a song that Clay Travis is asking to be played on his own show.
But we're going back to the root here of this. We got to go back to the root here.
Danny G, you told me he's refusing to, and then it takes me 10 seconds to get him to agree to play whatever I want him to play.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Clay.
I'm thinking Iowa Sam likes Ignition more than he likes the song Honey Love. So when you switched it up to Ignition, that's when Sam eased up a little
bit. Here is the question. Is it possible for you to mixtape Ignition with TLC's Waterfalls as we return for the final segment?
Like back and forth, back and forth?
Yeah, like a DJ would do. That's what you claim to be, right? A DJ. Go back and forth, perfectly mixing Waterfalls and Ignition.
Oh, that's a big task in, 5 minutes?
We'll see. You better make it happen or I'm going to fire you too.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.